tonight as we have a Christmas, pre-Christmas communion. And Lord, as I always pray at every communion service, if we have sinned by word, deed, action, thought, whatever, O God, if we have grieved or vexed or saddened and quenched the Holy Spirit of God in any way, tonight we practice that self-examination where we look within our hearts. Lord God, if we find anything there, we run to the throne of grace and we repent, O Father, knowing and thanking you that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Lord, tonight we just lift up James Borden, who's recuperating from surgery, and Lord, all the others that we continually lift up, Father. We especially pray for Shannon and Jay Sappington, who will be departing from China tomorrow and bringing home their brand new daughter, Annika, and just, Father, that safe journey home, that 14-hour flight, just be with them. And, Father, we already have learned that the flight has been delayed 8 hours tomorrow. So, Lord, just comfort them, guide them, protect them, bring them home safely. And, Father, we lift up those in Berlin, Germany, with a horrible terrorist attack that has occurred there at the Christmas market. And also the horrible, horrible explosion in Mexico that have claimed so many lives. We lift up our nation. We lift everyone up to the throne of grace tonight. And Lord, how thankful we are that we've gathered together the sheep of your pasture. We love you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles tonight with me for a, not a Christmas message, that's going to be on Sunday, of course, but how about let's prepare our hearts for 2017. So turn with me tonight to Psalm 78. I'll be there in about 15 minutes, and that really is the truth, as I have some things I want to mention to you before we get into Psalm 78. But, you know, it's very important to prepare our hearts, to always keep them prepared. Amen? You know, this year has been an extraordinary year for this church. We now leave behind 2016, Ebenezer. That was the word for the year. God, he was a stone of help. The manifested, visible, seen help of our Lord. It's been a wonderful, wonderful year. So a new year is awaiting us, of course, and yet, you know, the truth is that we're going to find many of the same things in 2017 that we have found in 2016. We're still going to celebrate birthdays, you know what I'm saying, Easter, Thanksgiving, there'll be another Christmas and so forth, and another anniversary or whatever. But as we move into another year, it is my prayer that each person who belongs to Calvary Fort Worth, I pray with all of my heart that there is a renewed desire to go deeper into the love and into the grace of our wonderful Savior. Amen? So wonderful for that to happen. And we have learned over and over, I have preached nearly the same verse over and over about protecting our hearts. And that's the only way that you can prepare your hearts is to protect your heart. Remember what it says in Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep, or literally guard, protect above everything that you do. Guard your heart. And it says, do it with all diligence, meaning above everything else that you do in this life. And the reason, for out of it, out of your heart, that is, spring the issues of life. So protecting our hearts. Isn't it amazing that we have something that is inward that can get us into trouble? That if we, you know, the Bible says he who trusts his own heart is a fool. Boy, I tell you, because our heart can lie to us. It can deceive us. It's wicked at times. Amen? Now, so tonight as we look at our heart, it's really important to remember that it's one thing to protect our hearts, but boy, it is quite another to truly prepare our hearts and keep them prepared. You know, the New Year's message for this year, taken from 1 Samuel chapter 7. You remember that the Ark of the Covenant had been out of the hands of Israel for over 20 years. So for 20 long years, God was silent to the nation of Israel, remember? And also not only that, 20 years of wasted living. And here we, back in 1 Samuel 7, we find that the Israelites, the children of Israel, they are defeated, they are enslaved by their enemies, the Philistines. It's a horrible, horrible time. And they're grieving for the Lord, they're wanting the Lord, but they're not wanting to return to the Lord the right way because they didn't want to depart from their idolatry. And so it says in 1 Samuel 7:3, it says, "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, 'If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, put away the foreign gods and the asterisks from among you.'" Here it comes. "Prepare your hearts." Say that with me. "Prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only." And then Samuel says, "God will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." We know the story because that was our New Year's message. And they were faithful, and the children of Israel, and God did defeat the enemies of the Philistines. And so what did Samuel do? He set up a stone there in the field, and he called that stone Ebenezer, the stone of help, and saying, "The Lord has helped you thus far," or up to this point. And we can certainly say God has helped us, amen, up to this very moment in our lives. But the problem that we want to make sure that doesn't happen to us is as we enter into this brand new year, one of the most important years in the history of this church is 2017, which I'll be sharing with you in the month of January, what I have been referring to the last several weeks. But it's important that we, like Israel, we want to make sure of something. We want to make sure when Samuel said, "You better return to the Lord with all of your hearts," we want to make sure we don't leave the Lord at all. Amen? Not only that, when he said, listen, he says, "You want to put away those foreign gods." Well, we don't even want to allow anything to take the place of our Lord. And then he says, "And prepare your hearts." Prepare your hearts for God and for him only. No one else, nothing else. And then he says, "Serve the Lord only." Boy, those are some great words. I have learned in my short life of 35 years, loved one, this side's in trouble. Listen, I you know I tease. I'm so glad you laugh at the same old jokes that I've been telling you for 24 years, okay? But the truth of the matter is, I've really learned with all my heart that our hearts can be the greatest hindrance in our lives, amen? Our hearts can get us into so much trouble, and you know, we don't want that to happen. Never, ever lose sight of how important it is to always be preparing your hearts for the Lord. See, a heart that's not prepared is a heart that'll steal from you what God wants you to have. You see, an unprepared heart is a heart that will walk only in the flesh and never be walking in the spirit, and we don't want to be guilty of that. And not only that, an unprepared heart is a heart that repeatedly continues the same sins over and over and over and over. In other words, well, I have an anger problem or whatever it might be. And so you say, you're going to live in that anger? No, you need to get rid of that anger by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, we want that gone out of our lives. We don't want to be repeat offenders and so forth. No, Proverbs 26:11 says this, "As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly." A dog. Isn't it the grossest thing to talk about this close to Christmas? You ever seen a dog? They throw up, and now they're clean on the inside. Whatever was making them sick, now they're clean. But they return to what they vomited, and they start eating it. You know what I'm saying? Aren't you glad you didn't eat in the cafe tonight? Because we didn't have any food anyway. No, but why did they do that? I mean, you say, why does that happen? Why is he a repeat offender, that dog? Well, the reason is because he's a dog. What does that mean? That's his nature. That's what dogs do. That's what people with unprepared hearts do. They always return and repeat the folly over and over. But we're not dogs and we're not fools. We're the sheep of his pasture, amen? And we're not going to live like that because we're going to keep our hearts prepared. And here's the deal, guys and ladies, is the fact is just because we are believers filled with the Holy Spirit and God has given us a new heart, we still have to keep that heart prepared that he's given us. We still have to prepare our hearts. Over and over and over in Scripture, the Bible shouts out to us to prepare your hearts, to keep them prepared, to protect your hearts, and so forth. Solomon writing there in Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days," not our birthdays, but our days, every day. Boy, life is short. It says, "Teach us to number our days," and here's the reason, "that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I gain a heart of wisdom. That wasn't Solomon. I'm sorry. That was Moses. You understand? The only way to gain a heart of wisdom is to be in God's book of wisdom. Amen? And then you'll know what to do. See, that's how God wants us to be prepared. The other thing I want to mention before we get into Psalm 78 is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let me read it to you. The author of Hebrews says, "And let us consider," that's talking to us tonight, the church, the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters and so forth. "Let us consider," that word means to think deeply. That word means to take careful note of. "Let us consider one another," because we belong to one another. We're the body of Christ, amen? "Let us consider one another in the reason, in order to stir up or provoke love and good works." Now listen, only a heart that is prepared will stir somebody up to good works and to love one another, amen? I mean, that is a commandment from our Lord. Remember in John's Gospel, chapter 13, what Jesus told us in the upper room? He says, listen, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and by this the whole world will know that you're my disciples." You know what? We need to provoke one another, stir one another up to good works, and to love one another with all of our hearts. And then he goes on to say, "And not abandoning or forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit or the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching." I'm telling you, one of the greatest things you can do right this minute is prepare your heart not to be separated one day, one Sunday. And I know sometimes we get sick or there's a whatever, we're on vacation, have to work, but I'm saying all that lies within us, don't let anything separate you from being with the body of Christ every Sunday. That is so, so vital. You see, only an unprepared heart will look upon attending church as something that's just, "Oh, it doesn't matter if I go or not." No, that's bad teaching. That's bad thinking. Amen. See, the Satan loves that. The Satan desires to keep every believer isolated from God, if possible, which he can't, but and isolated surely from one another. You see, we need one another. You know, so, we don't want to be like that at all. And you know what? It says exhorting one another. That means that when you come, it's not about what you can get. It's about what you can give to other people to exhort them. And then he says, so much more as you see the day approaching. That's not talking about the great tribulation period. That's talking about the day of Christ. That's talking about the rapture of the church, which could happen tonight. Could happen tomorrow. We don't know the day. We do not know the hour, but we're to be watchful. Amen? Now, but not only that, the church is the only people on earth that is going to escape what's coming upon this planet. They are in the great tribulation period. Why not be a part of it? Amen? Now, with all of that being said, are you at Psalm 78 yet? I hope I don't hear one page turning. I've given you 20 minutes. We need to beware of an unprepared heart because where it will lead us, okay? Now look at this Psalm of Asaph here. It's one of the first of what we call the historical Psalms. He's going to give us a history, a very lengthy history. I'm not going to cover all these 70 some odd verses, of course, but he starts with Moses and he goes all the way to King David. Now, but Psalm 78 is much more than just a history lesson on the nation of Israel. It is a lesson to us tonight about beware, and it's a warning. Let's look at verse 1. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I'll utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known, and our fathers have told us, and we will not hide them from their children. Telling to the generation," here it comes, "telling to the generation to come the praises of God and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their what? Children. Why? Well, that the generation to come might know them," meaning knowing the things of God, "the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them," meaning the parents, to their children. Now listen, Asaph believed with all of his heart that he had a responsibility to his generation, and boy, do we. We have a greater responsibility than he does. Listen, every generation needs to hear God's word because it's never outdated. Amen? It's not some archaic, old-fashioned word. No, it's a living word for today. My question is you going to start 2017? And if you are a parent and you have little ones and so forth, have you and are you going to arise, like it says, and declare? In other words, if you haven't prepared your home, then it's unprepared. And if it's unprepared, the reason it is because of the heart. See, God knows, listen, that your home shows what our heart truly is like. Isn't that true? Come on, guys. That's right. Don't be religious on me tonight. We're brothers and sisters, aren't we? Yes, that's right. We need to exhort one another. Listen, God wants you to set your children's hope on God. Look at verse 7. He says that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Hope is always future there. In other words, God says, listen, boy, your children, generation after generation, then and in the church today, they only have a future in God. Matter of fact, without God, there is no future. Did you know that? That's why Peter said in 1 Peter 1:21, he says, man, that your faith and hope are centered in God Almighty. That's why it's needed. Now look at verse 8. And that the children, that they may not be like their father, stubborn, rebellious generation. Here it is. A generation that did not set its heart aright, or literally in the Hebrew, if you would look there in your center column reference, if you have one, it would probably say something like, they did not prepare their heart. In other words, an unprepared heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. A generation with an unprepared heart. Let me tell you something about a heart that's not prepared for the things of God. You know what can occur? I'm telling you, any sin, anything, boy, can live and thrive in a Christian's unprepared heart. Boy, I'm telling you, it's right there. And we live in a generation today of unprepared hearts. People just say, well, I come to church and that's all that's needed. No, it's more than that. It's one thing to hear God's word, but it's another to do God's word. Amen? That's what it's all about. The Bible tells us, no wonder it cries out scripture after scripture in the word of God. It says this in Proverbs 23:26. He says, my son, give me your heart. Boy, that's a great word from God. Now look at verse 9. And the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, look what they did now. They turned back in the day of battle. Now, literally, not on one occasion, but during their entire lifetime, there in the book of Judges, you'll find they kept turning back. Now, listen, they were armed, but they were unfaithful. Here's what I have learned, just what's happening right there. An unprepared heart will run in the day of battle. It'll run away. They turn their backs. They said, we got to get out of here. That's what an unprepared heart does. Listen, whenever we are facing anything, we need to stand. And having all done to stand, it says in Ephesians, what? Stand therefore. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Amen? We're always going to be in a battle, and there's plenty of battles that's going to happen in 2017. But the reason that they turned their back there is, look why, in verse 10, because they did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and wonders which he had done. Boy, there is the place of all failures right there. Their hearts were totally unprepared, so unprepared, they even literally, it says, they refused to obey God, obey his word. And look what he says in verse 12. Marvelous things he did in the sight of the fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea, caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud, and at night, a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams of water out of the rock, and he caused waters to run down like rivers. Boy, that's one miracle after a miracle. And did they rejoice and give praise to God? No. But they sinned even what? Even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God, and look at the location, in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. And yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Listen, God can furnish a table in the wilderness or any place else. Amen. Can he? Are you in the wilderness? Are you feeling like it's just everything's falling apart? I'm telling you, God can do anything. You know, when I look at this, where it says, can God or can he? Those are most tragic words found in the scripture. That type of thinking and believing is what kept them out of their promised land, and it will also keep us from victory in our life. Never say, can God? Always say, God can. Amen? Amen. Absolutely. Now, in verses 21 through 33, we find their unbelief, and I'm not going to read that section, but their unbelief is just horrible, if you will. And you know, an unprepared heart never will reach God's intended plan and purpose for our life or their life. Can you imagine wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? Going in circles. I mean, oh, dear Lord, the things that they did. You know, and they missed everything that God had for them. You know, they were right on the edge of the promised land. All they had to do was be obedient to God and go into the promised land. But what did they say? Oh, they started weeping and crying. You know, we look like grasshoppers in their sights, you know, and they're a bunch of giants, and look at those walled cities. And you know what they settled for? What did the 12 spies that went in brought back? You remember what they carried back? A cluster of grapes. They missed the promised land, and they settled for grapes. Can you believe that? We don't want to ever be like that. Drop down to verse 37. It says, for their heart was what? It wasn't fixed. It wasn't prepared. They had not prepared their heart with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, meaning God, I love this, being full of compassion, look what God did. He forgave their iniquity. He didn't destroy them. Yes, and many times he turned away his anger and did not stir up his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Boy, that's the mercy, the goodness, the grace of God, isn't it? How often they provoked him in the wilderness, grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now listen, a heart that is unprepared will always limit God. If you look up that word limit in Hebrew, it means to make a mark. It means to like draw a line, if you will. And they like drew a line and said, you know what? You can't cross this line, God. It's just too much for you. They gave the creator of all things a boundary line. They tried to limit in their faith. They limited, you know, the limitless almighty God. Boy, that's what happens when our hearts are not prepared. We have to prepare our hearts every day, praying, getting into God's word, being obedient to the things God says. You know, you say, well, Bill, this is not really feeling very good for Christmas. Listen, my mind is so past Christmas. I'm in prayer. I'm in 2017 right this moment. Do you understand? I'm already looking into the year. I'm seeing the things that God wants us to accomplish through his grace, through his power, through his will. Amen. I'm not Christmas. I mean, I know, Scrooge, Bill, humbug. No, listen. We have a new year that we're facing. We have a year that rests upon our doing God's will. Great things are coming. Great things. But if we don't prepare our hearts, we're going to be in trouble. Listen, we don't want to ever limit God. You know, and that's what an unprepared heart does. Look how they limited God there in verse 42. First of all, they did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, in other words, from the hand of Pharaoh, and when he worked his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the field of Zoan, and turned the rivers into blood and their streams that they could not even drink. You remember it turned to blood. They couldn't touch it, couldn't drink any of it. Isn't that amazing? See, an unprepared heart forgets about God. An unprepared heart forgets about God's power, forgets about how God redeemed them. That's what they're saying right here. And not only that, they didn't remember his signs. They didn't remember his wonders. Listen, Ephesians 3:20 says, "For God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us." Amen? No, there's nothing too hard for God. We need to be the most expectant and believing people on this planet. You know what they did remember? They didn't, the children of Israel, they didn't remember the slavery. They didn't remember the bondage. You know what they remembered and cried out about? The leeks and the onions and the fish pots and the meat pots and all the rest of it. They hated all the provision that God gave, the manna, for example. You know, you think, oh, Lord, they limited God. You know what Jesus told us in John 14:12? Jesus said, most assuredly, that means, man, it is certain. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Let's write it another way. He who refuses to limit me. It says, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Listen, an unprepared heart always sets a limit, but a prepared heart never sets a limit upon what God can do for you. Do you understand? You wake up and you're no matter what you're facing. I have witnessed it and so have you. All of my walking over 40 some odd years with the Lord. And I look and I look back and I say, oh God, time after time, the great things that he did. He's a rescuer, deliverer, he's a healer. The signs, the wonders, the things that God can do and wants to do for us and through us. You know, don't set a limit upon what God can do. You have a marriage issue, don't say, well, God can't heal this marriage. Yes, he can. Well, I have a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter. Okay, don't put a limit on God. God is great in rescuing the lost. Amen? Amen? The Holy Spirit, there's no one more powerful than the Holy Spirit of God. No, listen. The Bible tells us, what did the angel say to Mary? He said, listen, in Luke 1:37, he said, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. I mean, nothing is impossible with God. Or nothing is impossible for God. No. Now look, drop down to verse 70 here. And all these verses here, if you read them when you get home, you'll find out had God, over and over, God intervened by grace and saved Israel, had he not done so, there wouldn't even be an Israel, okay? Now look what he says in verse 70. He also chose David, his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds, that little shepherd boy, remember? And from following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd, or literally feed, Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the what? Integrity of his heart. Listen, a prepared heart is a person who has a heart of integrity to the things of God. David cared for God. His heart was prepared for God to use. And look what he did. Guided them, meaning Israel, by the skillfulness of his hands. David was a worker. David laid up all the materials, remember, for Solomon to build the temple and so forth. David was a man whose heart was filled with integrity. Yes, David sinned. But that wasn't his lifestyle. Amen? No. David was a man after God's own heart. You know that God looks after the heart. He looks at our hearts. He doesn't look at our abilities. He doesn't look on the exterior and say, oh, wow, you guys wearing polo or driving a vet. You know what I mean? I parked next to a vet this morning. I touched it. The alarm went off. No. God chooses us on our heart. It's very difficult for God to use an unprepared heart. But when we prepare our hearts, I encourage you with all of my heart. Don't the things that you have repeated in 2016 that you despise and you hate, don't be a repeat offender in 2017. Kill it tonight. Kill it and put it to death tonight. Because you know what? You need a new beginning. That's what you need. A new beginning. And God is great at giving new beginnings. Amen? No, listen. Get up early. open your Bibles. Don't turn on your computer. Don't turn on your laptop or your iPad or your iPhone or any of those things. Go into the stillness of the early morning time and pray. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm here to commune with you. Holy Spirit, help me to pray right now. Help me to find the Lord right now. Amen. Open your heart to him. The psalmist has written out, he says, pour your heart out to God. He knows everything that's there. Open up and say, first of all, I love you, Lord. I love you and I praise you. Don't just rush in and say, this is what I need. He already knows what you need. Amen? Amen. Just start praising him and worshiping him. Just like it says, like Jesus, when the disciples came to him and said, listen, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, after this manner or outline or this divine pattern, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. And then it tells us to do something. Hallowed be thy name. That means to praise the names of God. Oh, Lord, you are, yes, our righteousness, our healer, our shepherd, all the wonderful names of God. Are you following me? He's our banner. He's our strength. He's our shield. He's our righteousness. He's everything that we'll ever need. Go to him, praise him for who he is, instead of saying, Lord, do you know what I need? And he goes, yes, I know. I've already, it's coming. I'm God. I love you. I'm your provider. He knows what you need. And it'll always be there right on time. Not your schedule, but his schedule. Amen. Now listen, God looks on the heart. If we're going to really prepare our hearts, you know what we have to do? A very simple scripture that we all know by heart. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. It says to trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. That's what he wants, all of it. Because there's the world wants your heart. The devil wants part of your heart. The flesh wants your heart. God says, no, no, I need all of your heart, all of your inner man, inner woman. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding, but acknowledge me in all of your ways, and I will direct your path. That's exactly what we need. Trust in the Lord. Loved one, listen to me. As long as you make your problem the biggest thing in your life, then Jesus can't be the biggest thing in your life. Do you understand? Problems are nothing to God. Jesus told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things, what things? The things that are needed in this life. He says, I'm going to add them to you. I know what you need. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Don't worry. My gosh, don't be torn apart. Listen, don't make anything bigger than Jesus. Because if you do, you're not your focus. You have wrong focus and so forth. No, listen, God is so good. God is so good to us. Jeremiah 29, 13, let me close with this scripture before we celebrate communion. It says, you will seek me, God says, and you will find me when you search for me with all your strength. No, with all your intelligence, with all your ability. No, you'll find me, God says, when you seek me and you search for me with all of your heart, with your heart, passionate about finding God. And you know what? God wants it to be that way, because when you get to him and find him that way, oh, the wonders of wonders and the things that you will experience in your life. Don't waste what time you have left in your life. You hear me? Life is short. I'm telling you, the Bible says, James says, it's just a vapor. What is your life? But it's just a vapor. You know, for a little frost. You remember when the Arctic thing came in and we were all freezing to death? Now we're wearing Bermuda shorts. You know what I'm saying? No. And you could, you know, I went on my early morning walk just to defy the cold. I did. I mean, I had on layers. I had my big coat that I hadn't worn in 4 years. You know, it's so thick, nothing could penetrate it. Put a wrap around my Christmas colors too, around the front of my face, and put on my hat. And man, my nose was running. It was sick. But I walked out there, it's cold, defying it. Sometimes you just want to defy things like that. You know, Bill, did you take Sudafed before? No, I didn't. No. Finding God, loving Him, serving Him, walking with Him. Don't waste a moment of your life. Find Him first every day, okay? It is so very, very important. You know, now listen, tonight as we celebrate communion, guys, it's important. You know, the Bible doesn't teach us to remember His birth. Did you know that? Jesus didn't say, I want you to remember my birth. Jesus said, I want you to remember my death and all that it means. Let me read a scripture while they're passing out communion. Paul writing to the church, he says, listen. He says, when Jesus had given thanks, He broke the bread and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, and as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Isn't that amazing? The Word of God tells us to do three things in communion. First of all, it tells us to look within, that to look inside and examine our hearts. We have all to get somebody, you know, man, forgive them. Amen. Just forgive them. Don't let that unforgiveness live and reign and rule in your heart or any of those things. Man, we don't want that. No. Listen, I'm going to step down if it's okay. Sometimes I like to see the sheep. See, up there, you're all real white like in a halo. I know that's not true. Jesus is the bread of life. He is our nourishment. He's our manna from heaven. Amen. Jesus said, you eat of this bread, whoever eats of this bread shall never, never die. You see, we have everlasting life. Amen. And when we drink of the cup tonight, you know what we really need to remember? We need to remember that, you know, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But Jesus' blood washes away all of our sin, our past, our present, and our future. Every sin has been paid for. That's unbelievable. That doesn't give us a license to sin, nor do we want to sin. But God justifies us. He loves you just exactly as He loves the perfect Son of God. I ponder that often in my heart. And I say, oh Lord, that's so much for me to even understand, to even digest, because I fail every day. I fight against the flesh or the thought or whatever it might be. And you say, Lord, you love me just like you love your perfect Son, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, I do. That's Ephesians 1:6, by the way, if you want to study it when you get home. I'm so thankful that He loves us tonight. I'm so thankful that we've looked within. We've looked ahead. We know that Jesus is going to return. The glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not talking about the second coming, but the rapture of the church. But I am so thankful for the cup of the new covenant. I'm so thankful that as far as the east is from the west, our sins are truly put away. I'm so thankful tonight as God has promised in His word in Hebrews 10:18, for I will remember their sins no more. He doesn't remember our sins. I'm so thankful that when we stand in that day before the Lord at the Bema seat of Christ, we will not be judged for our sins because Christ was judged on the cross for our sins. He paid our sin debt. Amen. But we will be judged according to our stewardship, how we serve the Lord, and all the things like that. So tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we prepare now to celebrate our Lord, and we also include remembering his birth. What a glorious privilege and honor we have to be called sons and daughters of God. Is there a greater honor or privilege than that? Father, tonight as we hold the bread and as we hold the cup, we praise you, we love you, we honor you, O God. All that we do right now, we do in precious remembrance of you, our Savior. Let us partake of the bread. Take of the cup, that if anyone that's here tonight suffering from that, well, we call it that holiday depression, the Christmas blues or whatever, I pray that you would lift that from them right now and take their focus off of the holiday and put it upon a supernatural event, the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Touch them, O Lord. As we tonight, as a family of God, we now partake of the cup in Jesus' name. Let us partake. You know, in a few days, 2016 is just going to pass into the night like every year has done since we've been alive. And we may, probably will not be celebrating communion again, you know, until next year. By God's grace and by God's strength, let's let go of this year. Let go of all the pain. If you have that pain, whatever it might be, you say, well, Bill, I have defeats. Okay, let's let go of our defeats. Amen? Let's let go of our pains, our what might have been, could have been, our should have been, whatever it is, let's leave them behind and let's move forward into 2017 with a passion. I'm talking about a fire. A fire that God is going to light in this church. A fire that you have never experienced before. Bill, you're speaking bold words. I believe every word with all of my heart. And you know what? Amen. And it's going, amen. But it's going to depend upon you and me doing something. And you'll find that out in the New Year's message. But if you will do that, I'm telling you, 2017 is going to be the most extraordinary year this church has ever, ever had. By God's grace, I look forward to serving the Lord with you and next year. I'm so thankful for all the staff and all the deacons and the elders and all the Sunday school, everybody that's worked so hard. I'm so thankful. You know, I know this, God loves you. God is with you, and God is for you. If you will not be here Christmas Day, as I know many, many people are traveling and leaving and so forth, I just want to say one more time, then, from my heart to your heart, from my home to your home, I pray for Christ's peace and perfect presence to be with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand to our feet.